Here's the latest summary from the Daily News, New York's picture newspaper. An air of expectancy hangs over the reports from Okinawa tonight. The first straw in the wind was an unusual communication from Admiral Chester W. Nimitz, in which no mention was made of ground fighting. In addition, the report was delayed several hours, and the Associated Press has indicated that this may mean a special communication is in the offing. It may even mean that enemy resistance has ceased on Okinawa. The Nimitz announcement reported only scattered air actions against enemy shipping, but the Daily News listening post has picked up a Tokyo broadcast which says that four American task forces, including many transports, are on the move around Okinawa. This is an enemy report. And in the Philippines, American troops may soon be locked in the showdown battle for the island of Luzon. The 37th Division has pushed 6 miles up Highway Number 5, which leads to the main Jap stronghold in Cagayan Valley. In the center of the island, the Japs are putting up a last-ditch fight before Mount Puro, east of Manila. Meanwhile, General Dwight Eisenhower has left Berlin after signing a declaration authorizing the Allied Control Council to take over the government of Germany. The declaration divided Germany into four zones. Each of the four Allied nations will be in control of one sector, but all will cooperate closely, one with the other. It was this kind of cooperation that, just a year ago tonight, lighted the fuse that set off the greatest military explosion in history. A year ago tonight, a picked army of scared but determined American and Allied soldiers pushed off for beaches of Normandy. Many of those frightened men are fearless veterans today. They've done their job well. And tomorrow they will pause to observe the first anniversary of D-Day. A year ago, these boys hit Omaha Beach with a prayer on their lips. A prayer that they'd get through. Tomorrow they will offer up a prayer for those who didn't make it. Many of the veterans of D-Day will celebrate here at home. 1,500 more American soldiers arrived today. As the four crusty freighters pulled into port, army bands blared out a cheerful welcome. And as more and more veterans of World War II return each day, American lawmakers are building toward a peacetime military training program that may go a long way to prevent future wars. A compromise military training bill was presented to Congress today. It proposed that every American boy be given some military training, preferably in a way that would not interrupt his education or normal home life. The proposal suggested that American boys join the National Guard or some other reserve unit, and in addition be given intensive training at camp during the summer months. Here in New York, the biggest murder mystery in the past 3 years is still unsolved. Police have questioned over 30 persons without uncovering a single clue that might lead to the murderer of wealthy Albert Langford, who was killed last night. Among those questioned were several musicians who had benefited from Mrs. Langford's interest in the arts. Police officials believe Langford was murdered by professional killers. At long last, Cupid has caught up with James Augustus Cooper, and the bridegroom, who is 101 years young, has finally succumbed to the charms of his 62-year-old bride. Cooper winked knowingly at his bride-to-be as he said, "Lots of other women were after me, but they never caught me." And the bride replied shyly, "I'm lucky to catch such a fine man." In the sports world, Red Ruffing, famous Yankee pitcher, has been discharged from the Army Air Corps. Ruffing, who was 40 last month, arrived at Fort Dix last Thursday, where he will be released under the recent War Department ruling to discharge men over 40. He said he had no immediate plans to return to the pitcher's mound. And a recent game between the Giants and the Phillies has cost Murray Glick of the Bronx $57. $25 of it went to pay a fine in gambling court yesterday. Glick was found guilty of having made bets at the polo grounds on April 26th. Here's a look at some baseball scores. Two teams are tied up in the ninth, the Dodgers and Giants at 3-3, and the St. Louis Browns and Chicago White Sox 1-1. Here are the Daily News headlines. Jap resistance on Okinawa seems near an end. Tokyo Radio says four American task forces bearing down on Okinawa. Americans near showdown battle on Luzon. Allied Control Council now governing Third Reich. American troops, European troops rather, to observe first anniversary of D-Day quietly tomorrow. Now the latest report from the United States Weather Bureau. 11 p.m. temperature 53. Tonight and early tomorrow mostly cloudy, continued cool, lowest 48. Later tomorrow, variable cloudiness, not so cool, highest 62. News Around the Clock is compiled by the Daily News, New York's picture newspaper. We present regular editions at 1:30 every hour. Bulletins go on the air at once. For all the news all the time, stay tuned to WNEW New York.
We come back to the Paramount Theater now with the final notes of the Major Glenn Miller arrangement of the Begin the Begin, as played by Fred Waring and his entire ensemble from the stage of the New York Paramount Theater. Well, now we'll listen to the conclusion. Reception that music is getting now. The audience stands and rises in applause for Fred Waring and his entire company of about 60 on the stage. Our show is going to continue in a moment, and now this is Joe Boland saying, Martin Brock, take over in your own inimitable style.
Thank you very much. There's going to be very little taking over here now. We're back again, and Fred Waring on stage, and another number. Let's go down and listen. Type of number. Now, Ed, what is next in the program?
How about a real huge ovation for Fred Waring?
Of course.
Fred, actually, the reason I came out here is that we just got a memo from Barney Balaban, who is Whiteman's boss. He owns this theater.
Yeah.
And there's a little fellow out here.
Are we canceled out?
No. This is a... This there, begging your indulgence. There's a youngster who came here tonight, as you know, everybody had to buy big bonds. Well, this youngster bought a $25 bond, and Mr. Balaban said he saw him once in Chicago, and if you could fake some music, he'd like him to come on and do something.
Was he good?
I don't know.
Did he pay cash for the bond?
Partly cash.
Do I know him? Have you ever seen him?
Well, his name is Eddie Cantor.
Who?
Eddie Cantor.
I've heard the name.
Ladies and gentlemen, Eddie Cantor.
Eddie Cantor, I guess.
Not Ida's relative. Ladies and gentlemen, here's a little song. Fred, we get ready for the first song, huh? Here's a little song, then I'll do encore after encore.
You mean the songs we rehearsed? All right,
here's a little
song. They go on for hours.
Oh, Fred, you know, this lady is not a member of your organization. This lady's been traveling with us for the last 36 weeks around the, what we affectionately call the Purple House Circuit. This is a very famous boogie-woogie pianist, B. Walker. Let's give B a big hand. She's at that awkward age. Too old for Jessel and too young for Saratan. I'll tell you what we do. Here's a song called The Ladies in Love with You.
You want an introduction?
Introduction.
That's about all we do tonight. Introduction.
All right. If there's a gleam in her eye each time she straightens your tie, you'll know the lady's in love with you. And if she'll dress for a date without that waiting you hate, well then the lady's in love with you. And when your friends ask you over to join their table, but she picks a faraway booth for two. Well, sir, he's just how it stands. You've got romance on your hand because the lady's in love. The lady's in love because potatoes are cheaper, tomatoes are cheaper. Now the time to fall in love. Why, the butcher, baker, the old candlestick maker gave their price a downward shove. And Sunday night when you take her to see that movie, and she says the balcony seats will do. Well, sir, here's just how it stands. You've got romance on your hands because the lady's in love with you.
Eddie Cantor, ladies and gentlemen, on stage at the Paramount Theater, and his Fred Waring at the microphone now, calling for a nice big hand.
Thank you. Very good. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been traveling around the last 3 or 4 weeks on this bond drive, and every now and then we get into some war plans. Day before yesterday, we were over in Newark. It's not easy to get in. You got to wear identification tags and things. I was a little bit late. The company got in before me. I had nothing on my lapels. I walked through the gate, a woman, very tall, very officious, wore slacks. You know, so a woman walks out of wear slacks and she looks like the back end of a Greyhound bus, you know? This old gal grabbed me, she says, where you going, bud? Tells her to me, bud. I said, look, lady, I'm Eddie Cantor. She says, mass production to the right. Coming here on the train from Cleveland, I don't have to tell you how tough transportation is these days. And it's awfully hard to get into the dining car. There were 3 Marines standing waiting to get into the dining car. And all the tables were taken except one. At this table, it was a little old spinster sitting all by itself with 3 empty chairs. Marines were burned up. One said, let's go and we'll frighten the old dame away. So they walked in, sat down. One of the Marines says, well, Joe, you're going to wash your hands? He says, I ain't going to wash my hands 7 months. I'm going to stop now. Gave the fellow the wink. Another Marine picked it up. He said, what about you? He says, ain't had a bath in 7 months. I said, you ain't had a bath in 7 months. Third Marine says, I ain't had my clothes. I've not even my underwear in a year and a half. Old spinster looked up and said, would one of you stinkers mind passing me the salt? Ladies and gentlemen, this is the hour of the night when I like to get a little bit nostalgic. I like to sing several choruses of some songs I first sang for Mr. Ziegfeld just down the street. I love sweet as apple cider, oh, sweeter than all I know. Oh, oh, oh. Come out, neath the silvery moonlight, of love I'll whisper, so soft and low, whatever became of Sinatra, seems though, can't live without you. Listen, my honey, do-de-do-do, Ida, kind of idolize ya. I long to love you, Ida D. My doodle-do, my little Margie. I'm always thinking of you, Margie. I'll tell the world I love you. Don't forget your promise to me. Cause I have bought the home and drink and the little thing for Margie. You've been my inspiration. Days are never, never, never blue. And after all is said and done, there is really only one. Oh, Margie, Margie is you. If you knew Susie like I know Susie, oh, 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 what a girl. There's none so classy as this fair lassie. Oh, 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 my goodness, what a share. See, I had a mustache as cute as a pup. Susie kissed me, and she burned nothing up with you. You knew Susie like I know Susie.
Cantor, Eddie Cantor. I love to spend this hour with you as friend to friend. I'm sorry it's true.
Ladies and gentlemen, many of you have bought your full share of bonds. None of us have bought enough. In going around the hospitals and seeing thousands of our boys, I know that we can do a little bit more. It would be nice if we all did our share. Let's show our men in the Pacific that there's a bond between us. Buy another one tomorrow. Good night. God bless you.
That was Eddie Cantor on stage at the Paramount Theater. Eddie's taking a bow. Several bows, in fact. Eddie Cantor, terrific, as always. Sincere, in there, thinking whether he's selling the Boston product or selling bottles. In the Paramount Theater, Eddie's taking a bow. Several bows, in fact. Eddie Cantor, terrific, as always. Sincere, in there, thinking whether he's selling the Boston product or selling bottles. There he comes back again. Blackface and all, he's kissing Fred Waring. And left hand to burn talk right on Fred's cheek. Fred doesn't know it, of course.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, we have another distinct pleasure of introducing a young lady from Hollywood whose rise, too, has been meteoric. Pictures such as Miracle of Morgan's Creek and a lot of others. Oh, you know who it is? Diana Lynn. That's right. Diana Lynn. Diana Lynn. Diana Lynn.
Take a good look now. Diana Lynn in person. You've been waiting to see her. Here she is. And what's more,
Diana Lynn is capable. She can really do something. What is it? Going to move this piano? Will you move that one? Come on, you make a little speech, will you, while we get something ready here? We're going to move a piano in and see if you can carry it out to the audience over the pit.
Well, anyway, it's certainly nice to be here to be included in the show. And how are we doing?
We're doing all right. We're almost ready. Are you nervous, Diane?
Well, not really.
You're not? You always shake that way, huh?
Yes.
Diana Lynn of Hollywood will play at the piano in solo Grieg Concerto. Is that correct?
That is correct.
That's the first time I've ever pronounced that name. Grieg Concerto. May I take you over? Carry a microphone with you. Take a reception. No music without the reception.
Diana Lynn, the lovely new star who is going to even greater heights in the new Eddie Bracken.
I had a preview
of it the other day, and believe me, this little lady is really terrific. A wonderful job of Griggs' piano concerto. I'm sure you enjoyed it. The audience is enjoying it because they're applauding their hands off. Bow, another bow. Fred Waring's taking a bow. And now here's Fred.
Accompanying you in the great concerto. Another Hollywood star present right this minute. And we're very proud to present him. You all know a great number of wonderfully successful roles he has played, but recently he has been accompanying, has been on one of these worldwide tours, actually, in a play with Catherine Cornell, the Barrett's Wimpole. Brian Aher. Brian Aher.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm afraid I'm rather a fish out of water at this gathering because I'm sorry, I can't play any instrument. That's an awful bright light she's got up there. But I can tell you a story about one. It's that thing, the double bass, whatever they call it, you know. It goes zong, 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 zong. Well, there was a little fellow who played in the Metropolitan Opera House with the orchestra there, and he played that thing down in the corner there for about 30 years, you see, every night. Zong, 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 zong. And he loved it. He'd never had a night off in all these 30 years. Well, one night he's in the kitchen opening a can, and the can opener slips, and he cuts his hand very badly, you see. And he calls his wife, and she says, "Good heavens," and they bandage it up, and he says, "Good heavens, I won't be able to play tonight." She says, "Well, you better call up the Metropolitan and tell them you won't be there." "Oh," he says, "I haven't missed a night for 30 years. Oh, this is terrible." She says, "Oh, well, if you haven't missed for 30 years, one night's rest won't hurt you. Don't worry. We'll call up the opera house and tell them, and I'll make you supper, and you'll take a night off." So he's very worried. He says, "I think I'll go out for a little walk." So she says, "Well, don't be long. Supper will be ready about half an hour." So out he goes, and he walks along, and he walks the same way he's always walked for 30 years, you know, down, 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 down. And he finds himself finally passing the Metropolitan Opera House. And he looks up, and he sees Metropolitan Opera House tonight, Carmen. Oh, my favorite opera, too. Oh, he walks down the end of the block, turns around, looks again, and he sees tonight, Carmen. Well, he runs up to the box office, and he says, "We got a seat?" And they say, "Yes, we got one right in the back of the gallery somewhere." So he buys the seat, and he goes in. Well, paid out, paid in. He comes back about midnight, and his wife is waiting, and she's very angry, and the supper's ruined. And he comes in, and he says, "Oh, oh, oh," he says, "I've had the most wonderful time. Oh," she says, "Where have you been? The supper's ruined. Where have you been?" She says, "Oh, I've had the most wonderful time. I'm so happy. I'm so happy." She says, "I know where you've been. I bet you've been to the Metropolitan Opera House." He says, I have, and it's wonderful, wonderful." She says, "And I'll bet they were playing Carmen, too." He says, "Why, they were, and it's wonderful, wonderful." She says, "But good heavens, you have played it for 30 years yourself. You've played it all." But he says, "You don't know how it sounds from the front," he says. "You know, oh, you know that part? You know that part where it goes zonk, 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 zonk? Well, it doesn't sound like that at all. It goes ta ra 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 ti ra 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 ra."
Ladies and gentlemen, on stage at Paramount Theater, making his contribution to our Major Glenn Miller Day broadcast in the sale of war bonds in the 7th Wall Loan Drive. Brian Ahern getting a wonderful hand from the audience. Now, it's Fred Waring.
I can think of one, too, but I wouldn't tell it. Now, one of these, I think he's an octogenarian. Anyway, he's almost reached that. All I know about him is that he's one of the really greatest stars in the stage today. One of the really greatest stars. He's always there when he's needed. Benefits, doesn't matter. He'll do it for nothing, and he tells a good story on the way. But he's appearing now in Memphis Blues. Of course, he's appearing. He's the star. Who is it? Bojangles, Bill Robinson. Bill Robinson.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, the last 25th of May, I spent my 67th birthday, and I'd like to show you the night. I'd like to try to show you tonight how I would love to be dancing just 40 years from today.
Ladies and gentlemen, and we'd like to hear every one of those taps, wonderful taps. As Bill said, 67 years old on his last birthday, and still the greatest dancer that ever trod the board. Getting a tremendous ovation from the audience here at the Paramount Theater, The program, Major Glenn Miller Day Broadcast, coming to you over WNEW in New York. Here's Bill coming back to the microphone.
Mr. Waring?
Yes, Mr. Rollins.
I
got some of that on, too.
Yeah. Yeah, but I got you cheated. Mine don't come off.
Canners does.
You know, it's a funny thing about 6 years ago, Mr. Cannon and I was playing at the Palace. And he looked at me. He says, Bill Robinson, you're supposed to be the mayor of Harlem. I says, that's right. I said, you're supposed to be the mayor of the East Side. He says, that's right. He says, you're a great man. I says, so are you. He says, but I can do a lot of things that you can't do. I says, Mr. Cannon, what is it that you can do that I can't do? He says, I can lay on the beach and turn tan. I says, Mr. Cannon, I can eat ham.
Bill Robinson. Strictly on the ad-lib, every bit of that. Right off the cuff, nothing planned, nothing prepared. He's coming back again.
Remember, Bill Robinson. Good night, Bill.
Here, ladies and gentlemen, are three very beautiful handmade batons. These were made by the Seabees down at Camp Endicott. Lieutenant Commander Powell, C.A. Powell, originally sent these batons as a gift of appreciation to Major Glenn Miller. They were returned. And Lieutenant Commander Powell has sent them here tonight. They're in very beautiful leather cases. They're really fine works of art. He has sent them here tonight to have us notify you people, because I'm sure you're interested, that one of the three batons will go to Mrs. Miller, and one to Ray McKinley, who's been doing such an outstanding job as Major Miller's substitute. And the third baton will be given to the person who makes the highest bid for a bond in a purchase in one of the subsequent bond drives at another theater. We wish to thank Lieutenant Commander Powell for these on behalf of Mrs. Miller and Ray McKinley, and wish him a lot of luck. Thank you very much.
Just a minute, we have to have a little meeting about what happens next.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Waring stepped off stage for just a moment to find out just who is next in the lineup. He's found out, and now here he is coming back.
Something has happened out here. One of our stars is still on the air. Is that correct, Mr. Whiteman? Let me get these facts correct. Is that correct? One of the stars is still on the air? In 3 minutes? What can we do in 3 minutes? Can we sing Smoke Gets in Your Eyes, Boy? Would you like to hear it? All right, come on.
Ask me how I know my true love was true. I of course replied, something here inside cannot be denied. Someday you'll find all who love are blind. When your heart's on fire, you must realize smoke gets in. So a child. things be wrong till I come apart. So
in your eyes. That was done a little bit on the unrehearsed side because they're waiting for the next group to arrive here. They should be here any second. And Mr. Waring's just gone off stage now. He's coming back with another announcement.
I also wish to thank the New York Journal American for their splendid cooperation with the War Activities Committee of... What is this, MP? Motion Pictures, Motion Pictures. That message was delivered by me from Mr. Robert Whiteman from the Wings. And now we have Jack Miller conducting and accompanying Miss Kate Smith. Kate Smith. Jack Miller. Hello, Kate. Hello.
Thank you, very much. Thanks so much, Fred. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I'm terribly sorry that we were a little late arriving to do our part of the performance here this evening. But nevertheless, we did want to put in an appearance here and try to give you a little bit of entertainment in the best way we know how. So if you'll bear with us, we had to rush over here. But I hope you've had a very pleasant evening. I understand you've been entertained by the greatest of stars. And I'm sorry that I wasn't here to witness their performance along with you seeing them. However, as I said before, we're here now, and the four chicks and Chuck and Mr. Waring's aggregation will accompany me now in a little tune called Dream.
Thank you.
Smith and Orr, Jicks, and Jock. They're at the Paramount Theater. Now here's Kate again.
Thank you. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. And now we'd like to do a little jump tune for you. It's a brand new one, and we think that it's going to become quite a favorite. The title of it is Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe. If you will. Do you hear that whistle down the line? A figure that attends your number 49. She's the only one that sounds that way on the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe.
Kate returns, takes another bow on stage at Paramount Theater. Kate has been appearing here with Four Chicks and Chuck. And here's Fred Waring again.
Kate Smith,
now. Well, it's Kate Smith again, too.
Catherine.
We have a request to make. It's been a wonderful night. Drawing to a close, and it has, after all, been a patriotic venture, an expression of your patriotism. You were asked to come here, and you volunteered to come, actually, by buying your bond. It meant a great deal and a wonderful tribute to a wonderful man in our profession, Major Glenn Miller. Very little that I can add to what has already been said this evening, and I don't intend to go into any story. I think America has a good way of expressing America's feelings in song. We're going to ask the audience to join with us in our arrangement of the Battle Hymn of the Republic. In the last chorus, will you please sing with us? You all know the words, glory, glory, hallelujah, his truth is marching on, amen. We're going to turn up the lights. We'd like you all to stand at the finish.
Thank you.
Here at the Paramount Theater in New York, a magnificent tribute to a magnificent gentleman, the Major Glenn Miller. Now, this is Martin Block turning back the microphone to Joe Bolton.
From the stage of the New York Paramount Theater, we have brought you the giant war bond show in honor of Major Glenn Miller, one of the nation's greatest band leaders who was reported missing in action in Europe several months ago. The $4 million and over in war bonds purchased at the theater tonight by the audience who came to pay tribute to the great band leader and patriotic American helps to carry on the cause to which Major Glenn Miller gave his full measure of devotion, the cause which concerns all of us and which will be our concern until the American flag flies over Tokyo. This war bond show in honor of Major Glenn Miller came to you over WNEW, New York.
Ladies and gentlemen, WNEW's regularly scheduled evening programs were not heard tonight because of this special broadcast from the Paramount Theater. We wish to thank the following sponsors whose programs gave way: Finley Strauss, RKO Theaters, and Barney's Clothing Stores. We invite you to stay tuned for the Milkman's Matinee, which follows immediately on your dial at 11:30.